Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
So to be in authority, I got to be under authority. Everybody knows that, right? To be in authority, I've got to be under authority. Don't be deceived to think that submission is only for the woman. Until men submit to God, nothing will change in our homes, our churches, and nations. So submission is not a woman's job. Submission is the man's job. And Jesus taught us in Philippians chapter 2, as we submit, we lead the way for greater works to take place. And so we need to come under God's authority to be what He wants us to be. Leadership is the essence of covering. In other words, you tell your wife, just go home today and say, baby, I've got you covered. It's covered. Like outside, you need an umbrella to cover you, to keep you from getting wet. That's your protection over your wife. Baby, I've got this covered. I've prayed through this. I've asked God for wisdom, and as God showed me this, and I believe this is the covering that we're operating under right now. So as you provide the covering for your wife, guess what? There's safety there. There's security there, and she thrives in that environment. If your wife is constantly nagging you, then you should learn to outpace your wife's concern. Man, get ahead of that. Put time and energy ahead of that so you're not being caught off guard. So the first one's going to be the longest one. It's the leadership. Unless you're leading, none of the other stuff's going to be able to take place. And so leadership is the essence of covering. I'm submitting unto God's authority for my life, and I'm submitting unto Him. And then I've got to assume the responsibility He's given me to protect my wife in terms of leadership and help her walk in the Spirit as well. And that's a big deal. Number two is this: resolve to love her by lifting. Resolve to love her by lifting. So we're looking in verse 25 there. It says in chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27 says that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So think about this. On the wedding day, she's walking down the aisle, probably her best, wouldn't you say? I mean, she looks, y'all know it, she looks drop-dead gorgeous, right? I mean, man, let's get this thing over with, right? Why are we standing here, you know? So think about it, man. But hey, that right there pales into the comparison of what God wants to do with you and her leadership. She ought to look better and better and better and better and better and better. That's just the beginning point. You see what I'm saying? She's walking down the aisle looking one way, and God says, hey, this is just the beginning, boy. Get ready. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be glorious. She's going to be supernatural when you get through with her as I work in your life. And that's what I think the Scripture teaches us. That's why it's so influential, that you might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word. Present Him to Himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy without blemish. This is just the beginning. I got something better for you, something greater for you, something beyond what you're even capable of. I got to work in you. I've got to work through you so she can get there. Man, what a privilege, guys. So many of us miss it. You know why? We don't even know. Nobody's taught us. But when you look in Scripture, man, it's vividly jumping off the pages. I pray sitting in our heart so we can receive it and really help her be where God wants her to be. And guess what? He's chosen us to help her get there. So the word love is mentioned there. He gave Himself. It means to hand over, to give. Failure to honor your wife harms your ability to live out your true purpose as a natural man, as a married man. Failure to honor your wife harms your ability to live out your true purpose as a married man. I can say this as a single man, and I can say it as a married man. Failure to honor your wife, failure for a man to honor his wife, harms his ability to live out his true purpose as a married man. I can say that whether I'm married or not. You know why? The Bible teaches that. So as men of God, we gotta be able to handle Scripture so we can help other men no matter where they are, and to speak into their life and help them get there. Here's another statement I think is really sound and biblical too. Heaven seems silent to you because you're not honoring your wife as God intended. Well, where is that at in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to God's word. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Anybody need help there? Say amen. It's okay to be honest. Dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them giving honor. Anybody need help there? Say amen. That word honor means value. It means price. It means the actual payment. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? That your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be prevented. The picture of the word hinder there is your prayers are being hindered because of the breaking up of where you are in that relationship with your wife. You're breaking up your prayers because you're not living with her in understanding. You're not giving her honor. So guess what? Your prayer's not even making it out of your living room, man, much less to the throne of God. It also means to detain unnecessarily. It's to irritate. So my prayers can irritate God if I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way. My prayers are being, you know, hindered, and I don't want that at all. So what does it mean to honor? What does that mean? Well, honor, the translation of honor means it weight. It means to weigh, so to speak. To honor someone means to lay it on them, you know, just to pile on the praise, pile on the significance, pile on the worthiness. No flattery, but you're piling on the respect. You're piling on the prestige. Don't you see how heavy this thing is? So sometimes when you go buy, you know, a cut of beef, you're buy it by the, not only the choice in terms of how it was, you know, cut or even how it, even the grain or whatever it was to make the beef that it is. And then the value of it is by the weight, the price. And you can buy some at a significant price. You can buy some that's not so significant. And what I'm saying is this, it's measured by the value. And so I think I would say this, don't tell your wife this, but she's heavy. Amen. I mean, she's heavy, bro. And it's not her physical stature. It's the weight of leadership. It's the weight of responsibility. It's the value that she is. And she's worth every bit of what God wants to do in your life and give her. Let's as men commit to say, I pray my value and what I give my wife goes higher, like it's supposed to, valuable, more valuable. The older she get, the more valuable she becomes, the more radiant she becomes, the more significant she is. What a privilege, what a blessing. God's asked us to be a part of that. Man, what an honor. So how do you do this? Number one, I need help in this. Number one, be considerate. Don't be roughshod with your wife. No bullying or bossing. No ordering around. Leave the heavy lifting for them. Don't leave the heavy lifting for them. Don't put her in difficult situations where she's got to have the conversation. You handle that. You do the heavy lifting for her. Be considerate. Number two, be cooperative. Be cooperative. You're one flesh. You're partners. You're to work together. You're a powerful team. A married couple has more than marriage vows to bond them together. They have Christ. We have the church. We have the scriptures. We have the Spirit. We have success. Number three, be careful. Again, the word hinder means to prevent by breaking up the road or detain or to irritate. Don't let your prayers irritate God. Prayers are hindered, and we don't want to see that happen because of how we relate to our wife. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and Satan seizes the opportunity, and nobody wants that. So be careful. There may be many reasons why your prayers go unanswered, but often we need not go further than our relationship with our wife. Number three, resolve to love her by listening. And everybody said, please help me. Amen. 28:29 says, So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. And so those connection there really shows that God's relationship, or Jesus' relationship with the church, and how patient, obviously, he is, how he loves, and how he proves his love for his wife, and how he loves himself in terms of the husband and wife relationship, and then how he ministers to his own self as he's connected to nourishing and cherishing, and as he ministers to his wife. So your wife says a lot of things, amen? She says a lot before she says what she wants to say, right? She's got a lot to say before she even has, you know, I think I watch my wife sometimes. She's trying to fill me out by what she's saying to see if I'm going to even receive what she's saying. She's communicating, but she's not ready to say something. She's just checking me, you know, and how she doesn't say words communicates. What she says when she's communicating with words or without words, she's helping me. I got to pay attention to that. So when I just speak to this, I just want to give you just a few things real quick. A principle I learned, and it's don't try to fix her, just listen. Don't try to fix her, just listen. Here are some questions that are helpful, okay? What do you think about blank? Whatever the situation is you're discussing, you want to ask a question. What do you think about the issue? What do you think? Ask her what she thinks. You're trying to shepherd her. What do you think about moving? What do you think about a job opportunity? What do you think about this tragic thing that happened in our community? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You're trying to hear where she is so you can lead her.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your Real Momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ. You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.